For those of you that have arrived a little bit later, things look a little different because today we are actually already started Firewood Falcon Camp. So Sarah and myself have come here from camp this morning. Jonathan's coming back with us with a minibus load of children, which we're picking up very shortly after the service, so we will be rushing away. And we're going to go through a few of the things that we do at camp. We're going to have a little think now about one of those characters that we sang about in the Zacchaeus song. So if you've got a Bible, we're in John chapter 4. And this is the character that we're going to be thinking about on Tuesday at camp. And really, I'm giving you the same talk they're getting. So it's maybe slightly different to what we would normally have. Maybe slightly less in the details like we've been in Hebrews. But we're still going to see an amazing message. Let's read the passage. So I'm going to start from verse 1. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour or midday. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one which you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is coming from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. And then what I'd like to do is bring us down to just verse 39. So there's a little bit in between. But verse 39, we read this. "Many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of that woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." And we'll leave the reading there for this morning. So, I've mentioned it briefly already. You're not going to get the same level of intro that the children are getting. But the theme that we're thinking about on camp this week is the fact that Jesus is a life changer. Jesus changes lives. And one of the things we're going to be doing on camp is we're going to be sharing with the children our stories, our testimonies as a leadership team. people who've had their lives changed by Jesus. And on the team, we've got a vast array of different stories. No two are the same. Your story's not my story. And so on. And we're going to be sharing with the kids about how Jesus has changed our lives during our time with them during the week. But alongside that, we're going to be looking at characters like the woman at the well and seeing how Jesus changes their lives. So here we are in John's Gospel in chapter 4. And the woman, the person whose life is changed in this story, is somebody who was weary, who was tired, who was ashamed, who was an outcast in society. We aren't told her name in the Bible. We just often know her as the woman at the well, because that's where she was when she met Jesus. Now, at this point in Jesus' ministry, he was becoming really quite well known. He was preaching good news to thousands of people. He was healing people. He was changing lives left, right and centre. And his schedule, if we're going to call it that, was pretty non-stop. But this particular day, when we have this encounter, he had been super busy all morning. We read that. He'd been doing lots of things. But he came along alone to a well at around noon. Now, if I was to ask you, and why not, let's do it, I'm going to do this at camp anyway as a question. If you were going to a well in the Middle East to collect a large barrel of water, what time of day would you go? Who's got an answer? We'll go hands up. Hands up if you know. Early in the morning? Why would you go early in the morning? Exactly. You'd go early in the morning because it's cooler, isn't it? And we've had hot days recently. I don't even know if early in the morning's been cool, but it's been better, hasn't it? You would go early in the morning because you're going to be carrying a big, heavy barrel, and then you're going to fill it up with water. It's going to get even heavier. You carry that back. You'd get what you need, but you wouldn't want to do that in the scorching heat of noon, of the hottest part of the day. But it's at that time when Jesus arrives at the well. He was there at that time because he knew she would be there at that time. He was there to change her life. But the fact that she was there at the hottest part of the day to collect water tells us a few things about her situation, really, and about where she found herself. You see, the fact that she was there at the hottest part of the day probably tells us that she didn't want to bump into people when she was there. She wasn't going at the same time everybody else went, when perhaps she'd see other ladies and she'd see other people collecting water. She'd be able to ask them how their weeks were and those sorts of things. No, she came in the middle of the day. She didn't want to see other people. She had her own life and she wanted to keep it that way. She wanted to make sure that she didn't bump into them. And we can probably read into that, as we've seen in the rest of the passage, that that might well have been because she wasn't very well liked by other people. This is a woman who, you could use the term, had a bit of a checkered past, who had been through an awful lot. This is a woman who, and we'll think about this a little bit, she'd clearly been looking for love. She'd been looking for connection. She'd been looking for the right person. And for whatever reason, we don't know the reasons in this passage here, that hadn't happened. She'd been married many times, she was living with a man who wasn't her husband, and so she was probably trying to avoid people so that she wouldn't bump into them and be judged and feel picked on and those sorts of things at that point. So she gets to the well, and there is a man there who not only is there, but talks to her. So we read that Jesus was, we read in verse 6, Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about 12 o'clock. A woman came from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? So, you can almost picture the scene, can't you? Here is a woman who immediately was on the defensive. She hadn't expected to bump into anybody when she went to get water that day. She'd gone at noon, like perhaps she always did, and there was a man there. And not only that, he spoke to her and said, can you get me a drink? You know, her reaction tells us again something about her. She had clearly been hurt before. She was used to perhaps when people call out to her in public, it's because they want to take advantage maybe. Or it's because they want to judge her. Or it's because they want to say something hurtful to her. So her first reaction wasn't to see the good in the request from Jesus, but instead it was to push back. Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, don't talk to me. There's that bit of context as well. You see, this woman was a Samaritan. That is kind of where she's from. And that meant that she wouldn't be the sort of person that would talk to a Jewish man, particularly not alone in this situation. So she was defensive. She was shocked. Why is this man speaking to me? He probably wants to hurt me. He probably wants to say something not nice. So I'm going to close off. And I wonder if you know people like that, or if you've been like that, or if you find yourself like that at times. I know that we all often do. But he asked her for a drink, and she reacted. So then we go on, and we read, didn't we? Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then it comes down, and Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks of this water in the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." And the woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Now, let's unpack that situation a little bit. It's an amazing interaction. So there they were at a well, and they were there, and she was drawing water to drink. She, we thought already, was there in the hottest part of the day. It was probably a massive inconvenience, but it needed doing, because we have to drink water to survive. And she got there, and this man was telling her, in a perhaps a little bit of a cryptic way, that she wasn't necessarily expecting in the conversation, that he could give her water that means she'd never be thirsty again. That means it would bubble up inside her. He was telling her about an amazing thing. You don't need a well anymore if you take the water that I'm talking to you about. And she goes, "Well, that sounds mighty convenient. You mean that you can give me water that means I never have to come here again? It means I never have to be thirsty again. I don't have to walk out in front of all those people who judge me and make me feel worthless. And I can come here, I don't have to come here to draw that. I want that. So give me this water," she said. So then Jesus says something amazing, doesn't he? He says to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Now we might think that's a bit of an odd response. Do you want some water? Yes, I would like to have that water. Go and get your husband. Might seem like a bit of an odd interaction. But what we see in that question is the fact that the Lord Jesus knows this woman. He knows her situation and he knows all about her. Because she says, "I have no husband." She says, what husband? "I don't have a husband." And he goes, "Yeah, you're right. That is what you say, isn't it? You've had lots of husbands before. The man that you live with now isn't your husband. I know all about you," is basically what the Lord Jesus is saying to this woman. "I know why you're an outcast. I know why you're looked down upon. I know that you feel on the outside. I know that you've done things that you're not proud of. I know that you have looked for fulfillment in places you could never find it. I know that you're always thirsty for love, thirsty for connection, thirsty for something which you think will satisfy, but your experience has been that time and time again, it hasn't. You've been in cheap relationships, cheap love, cheap marriage. You haven't found fulfillment in any of that." All of that comes across in the Lord Jesus saying, "Go and bring your husband here." He knows all about her. He knows her situation, and he's there talking to her and asking her for a drink. So here's this man that she's never met, who's talked about this slightly cryptic thing of water that would mean that I never feel thirsty or empty again. But in just a word, he's really cut to the core of this woman to recognise that perhaps what he's talking about isn't a drink. He's not saying, "I've got this new drink that you can have that means you never need a drink again." He's saying that there's an emptiness, there's a longing, there's a thirst in my soul. He knows that I've been looking to fill that, and he still wants to come over and talk to me. And we could, if we had a little bit more time and I was a bit more prepared, look a little bit further into the passage this morning. But really, what we're going to talk about at camp and what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is that interaction, this absolutely changed the life of this woman. She came to the well that day feeling like she was on the outside, like nobody understood her, perhaps like she was hated by other people. She, I would suggest to you, knew that she hadn't been doing great things in her life. She hadn't been finding the fulfillment she hoped she had. She knew all of that. And she met a man who very quickly was able to understand that, talk to her, reach her and love her where she was. And her life was completely changed as a result of that. So they talked for a little bit longer about worship, and that's a lovely study if we're going to look at that. But what I want to show you is how much this woman's life changes from that moment. So we read in verse 28 this. The woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" We met this woman, and she went to get water in the middle of the day. She did that because she wanted to avoid as many people as possible. She did not want to speak to them. She had nothing to tell them that was going to get around the fact that she was on the outside. That's what she was at the beginning. She was even defensive when she met Jesus. She didn't want to talk to him and so on. And not 10 verses later, this same woman, having met Jesus, having met somebody who understood her, who saw where the problem was in her life and who called her out from that to himself, ran to find people and to talk to them. She was bubbling over, if we're going to take the expression that the Lord Jesus was talking about. She was bubbling over with joy. She was the woman that you would know. There's that woman talking about Jesus again. There's that woman talking about the man who told her everything in her life. Because she had to go and tell people, "I've met him, the Messiah, the one who's promised, the one who, as we read our Bibles, as we look in the Old Testament, as we think about our forefathers, the one that they were all looking forward to, that was promised. He's here. I've met him. He understands me. He's met me where I am. And now I have to tell everybody else about him. He still loves me. He still wants to talk to me. He wanted me to get him a drink. And then he told me about the fact that he could satisfy all of my desires. He is God's promised Messiah. And I believe him. And I have to tell you about that." And that was from one interaction with this woman. And then we read it. But again, another 10 verses later, this is an incredible testimony. And it would be amazing for all of us to have something like this to be able to say about us, wouldn't it? This is, "Many Samaritans from that town," in verse 39, "believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." This woman was so taken up with and so amazed by the man that she'd met, the Lord Jesus. She believed what he told her, and that bubbled out of her into this living water that was a spring in her life. And as a result, she shared that with other people, and they came to know him too. Now that is the story of all of the leaders on CAP. That is the story, I hope, of all of us here today. We have had our lives changed by the Lord Jesus. And so he has placed in you a source of water. He has placed in you something that will not run dry, that will not fail to satisfy, that will not need anything from the outside. He has placed in you a source of water that you can go and share and tell other people about. Tell people about the man who changed your life. Tell people about the man who knows all about you and loves you despite that, and who gave himself on the cross for you. That is what this woman did. That is what we can do. And that's who we're going to tell these children about this week. So I hope that that's been an encouragement to you. Just seeing how the Lord Jesus deals with this woman who was really at the end of herself, who was really struggling with lots of things in life. But he gently and graciously loved her and changed her life. And we can read about that in scriptures.